Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Friday. First with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB, and we're looking back at Thursday, of course. It was Maturia Ture quits day. I mean, it was the day after she quit, but, you know, we got to talk about it, which led Leighton to talk about poverty. We've got now the latest agricultural, horticultural threat is this. The kauri trees are all dying, so we'll talk about that. Let's bash up Mike Hosking because he has been named as the moderator for the TV debates, and who is the best person to travel with. Yes, so let's have a little chat about Ture finally calling it quits.
I honestly feel like it shouldn't have had to come to this, at least not on the strength of the revelation of the benefit fraud alone. Yes, before you jump down my throat, it was a bad call. It was the wrong thing to do. But that alone shouldn't have been bad enough to end her career. It was the handling, or rather the mishandling, of this whole saga that eventually meant her resignation was the only option. Instead of igniting a much-needed debate about poverty and beneficiaries, it very quickly became a vitriolic debate about materia and taxpayer money. I think that saying sorry, doing a proper mea culpa, and being more forthcoming about paying the money back right from the beginning might have taken the wind out of the sails of most of the hate brigade. Failing to do so, though, dragged the story out and made her look less like a struggling mum doing what she must, and more like a liar. I do think initially she was trying to make a bad thing into a good thing, but unfortunately she failed, and she's absolutely pummeled her party in the process. It's worth noting as well that even now she's resigned, she's remaining stoic and has not apologised, and I think a lot of people still find that galling. So the question is, what now for the Greens? Could they recover now that the reason for their dip in the polls has fallen on her sword? Or is it all a bit too little, too late? Well, I sort of feel like the way this election campaign is going, I'm not sure if I want to make any firm predictions.
Yeah, I think what we need to happen next for this wacky plot to really, you know, carry on with its momentum is for Gareth Morgan to get a massive hike in the next poll and to suddenly become a contender. Get him back in the game. That'd be entertaining. It's made Leighton think about people in poverty. He's always thinking about people in poverty, I think. I think he thinks they shouldn't be there and they should help themselves out.
The part that leaves me struggling. Now, you can think whatever you want about what I'm about to say. It doesn't matter. I don't mind. The part that leaves me struggling is that there seems to me to be there's a continuing, and I put it in quotes, inverted commas, concern about poverty in this country. And it comes mainly from the left. There is no concern at all about people who willingly and intentionally put themselves in the position that these people are concerned about. There is no concern at all about the sort of policies that encourage it. There is no, and let's not be totally critical here, because there's, of one side, because there's something else that's missing. And every day that I wake up, I feel this more strongly, when there's news like this around anyway. There is no, that nobody in Parliament, as far as I'm aware, talks consistently about people improving their life, getting off the bones of their backside, lifting their game, making headway in life successfully, one way or the other. From wherever you start, at whatever level you're on today, as you might be listening, there is no reason, there is nothing stopping you from improving your game. Nothing. Except yourself. And the encouragement of that sad.
Interesting that he uses the word encouragement right at the end there. Sometimes it does take a bit of encouragement if all you've been told your whole life and everything that you've ever seen your whole life is that you're never going to amount to anything, which is, of course, the reality for some people. Just saying, Leighton, just saying. Now, the poor old kauri trees, or... I heard a news article about this story yesterday, and the newsreader was being so politically correct in the pronunciation of kauri that I had no idea what he was talking about at first. Kauri. It gets a bit out of hand, the pronunciation thing, sometimes, don't you think?
So you've put cleaning stations out there, and it's still spreading. So what are the options open to you now?
As you said quite rightly in your introduction, there is the option of closing the park altogether. However, the complexity is this is a huge area of Auckland, and it isn't, you know, simply like closing a soccer field. There are farms, there are houses, there are villages within the Waitakere Ranges. So in the immediate future, we're closing some of the most muddy tracks and some of the most difficult to manage. We've had track closures over the last few years, and over the next few weeks we'll be looking at which tracks we could probably continue using and which parts of the park we may need to close.
So closing the park isn't an option in its entirety?
At the moment, you know, it's absolutely the first kind of, you know, gut reaction people have. Close it, keep our kauri safe. But when we had to close the Hanuas for the 1080 drop, that was only over 3 days. We had security guards and fences and trucks and lights, and we still had people wambling into the park. So, you know, you can't close a park altogether.
It's such an iconic tree, though, isn't it?
Yeah, they are when they get really big. A little bit more difficult to spot, I found, when they're only little. But, yeah, certainly, do we need to stop people walking up and down them? Is that what people are doing? Are they climbing I've never quite understood why walking around the paths causes a disease to spread up and down trees, but there'll be a biological reason for that I'm not qualified to comment on, so I'm going to shut up about that and hear Marcus talking about Mike Hosking running the TV debates.
So TVNZ has said that Mike Hosking will be moderating the debates. There you go, I've worked out that word finally. It's taken me 22 minutes. We'll be moderating the debate. Are you okay about that? People from all around the spectrum. What I suspect will happen, this is just my opinion, is that previously debates have been something of a shout fest. People trying to score points against one another, i.e. Key versus Cunliffe, or Key versus Gough, or Key versus Clark. I think that's the way it's gone. Did Shearer go into election? Probably not. But what I suspect, with Labour skewing much more positively towards women, that Bill English will be trying to make himself appeal to women. Therefore, he won't be interrupting or over-talking her. So it might be the kind of debate which is a lot more productive. Look at the texts. Someone said, Hosking can't possibly be a good moderator when his bias is so clearly far right. Jan from Papamoa says, people don't watch the debates because they talk over each other and you cannot hear them properly. Someone says Hosking is terrible. He should be on the cafe infomercial program. I know she's not TV3. I know she's TV3, not TV1. But Samantha Hayes should do the debate because she is attractive. There we go. Online petitions like boycott campaigns. The mere survival depends on longevity of people power and participation. Marcus, why not Simon Dallow? At least he appears impartial. Female Tony Street would handle it well. That's from Tony. I think she's busy. She's working morning and night.
Oh, I love a little bit of Hosking bashing on a Friday, don't you? It's, you know, in some ways I do feel a bit threatened by it because it's my personal hobby, and then when other people take it up, I feel like they're encroaching on my territory. It's always a bit embarrassing when I'm at parties and I say that I work with Mike Hosking every day, and then people go on to tell me how much they hate him. Like, it's a bit like being talked about as though you're not there, even though you're there. I always feel like saying, you heard me just say that I work with him every day, right? Anyway, he's all right. He'll probably do a better job than most people would. I hope we've got enough time just to hear Mark talk about who he likes to travel with.
You can't just travel with anybody. You have to be compatible travel-wise.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to be with people... Well, actually, that's not true. I like being with people who are organised but allow a little bit of leeway in the system, and I'm very much whatevs. But you couldn't have two whatevs people and two organised people.
As a very much a whatevs person myself, you can, because my best travelling friend is a whatevs person as well. We just don't get very far very fast. Because, you know, we'll go and we'll have some drinks at a dinner and meet some people and then... you know.
Whatevs.
Whatevs. And then we'll wake up and it'll be 9 o'clock in the morning and we'll both be hungover. And one will say to the other from the other side of the room, are you ready? Nah, we'll just stay here another day. And then all of a sudden you've been at this particular place for a week.
But you don't want someone saying, right, bags outside the door and we're off and we've got the cycle trip here and we're going to scale that mountain in the afternoon and there's an art gallery to tick off.
And I did travel with this German girl in Sri Lanka for...
Imagine, I suppose.
About, it was probably 2 days, and we left each other where she was arguing with the person that was collecting the money on the bus over probably the equivalent of maybe 5 euro cents. Mm. It was horrible. Like, I enjoyed those 2 days because I just didn't have to do anything. She organised the safari and the taxi to this place, the taxi to that place. I was just in cruise control for those 2 days. But honestly, this bus ride, I've never felt so awkward ever. Oh. We were right up the front and she's yelling at this guy saying, you've overcharged me.
By 5 cents.
By literally 5 euro cents. And she's showing him how he has overcharged her on her brand new iPhone, which is probably worth $1,500. It was just so awkward. And everybody was looking at me thinking that I was her boyfriend and that, you know, we were in it together. And I was like, I'm getting off at the next stop. I've got nothing to do with this.
The girl from Hawke's Bay would never have done that.
No, she wouldn't have. In fact, at one point I did turn around and said to her, look, it's 5 cents. You're really embarrassing me. Just cut it. And she stopped and then she quietened down. But I have no idea what happened for the rest of the bus trip. And I haven't heard from her since. So, yeah, but awkward.
Did Mark just realise that he's the bad travelling companion there? I think he may have. Interesting twists and turns in the podcast today and this week. I am Glenn ZB. God knows what's going to happen next week. We will find out on Monday when I see you then for more News Talk ZB.